Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to New Life Church.
We are a church committed to changing lives.
And we want to be in a community that's diverse.
And having a radical impact on this world for Christ.
And if you'd like to connect with us more, you can go to our Instagram and Facebook pages or our website.
Now let's lift our voices together to sing the praises of our loving Savior.
Let's worship our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Let's worship.
Hear these words from Luke chapter 1. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Let's worship.
Oh, come, let us adore you. Oh, come, let us adore you. Oh, come, let us adore you. In Christ alone, we'll give him all the glory.
His head. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. My name is Rob Brantsma, and this is my wife Lisa Brantsma, Ellie Brantsma, Riken Brantsma, and Dex Brantsma. And we've been members here at New Life for about 5 years. This morning is the fourth Sunday of the season of Advent, a time of waiting for the coming of Christ. Each week, along with a reflection reading, we'll light a candle to remind us of this time of waiting. You are welcome to set up 5 candles in your house as well as we do this virtual service. And today we're going to light the 4th candle.
While Mary and Joseph waited for the baby to be born, an astonishing thing happened in the skies. A star appeared, much brighter than all the other stars in the sky. The shepherds around a small town called Bethlehem noticed it while they were watching their sheep at night.
Some magi who studied the stars noticed it in their city, many miles from Bethlehem. They decided to take a trip to see what it meant.
And if people had remembered a very old prophecy by the prophet Micah, they might have suspected that great things were coming to the small town of Bethlehem, near the great city of Jerusalem.
But you, O Bethlehem, who are one of the little families of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule his people. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. And they shall be safe, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be a prince of peace. Micah 5, verse 2 to 5.
Now everyone is in place, and the whole earth is holding its breath, waiting for what is to come. Everyone has the feeling it will be something wonderful, something different from anything God has done before. At Christmas, we hear the ending, or really a new beginning to the story. Until then, let us wait with the prophets, with Elizabeth and Zechariah and baby John, with the Magi, the shepherds and their animals, and with all the angels of heaven, anticipating good news of great joy. Let us pray. Dear God, in the fullness of time, you sent the one promised through the prophets who looked forward in hope. You have given us a living hope by raising him from the dead. Enliven our hope as we live in the expectation of your coming and your coming again. Amen. So we have a couple announcements. The Christmas Eve and Christmas Day service. The Bethlehem Walk event for Christmas at New Life will now be a virtual experience. We will have a video prepared that can be viewed on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. This video will virtually walk you through various aspects of this Christmas story to lead you in worship and help you reflect on the good news of our Savior's birth. The video will feature narrations and sketches from New Life children, devotionals from New Life pastoral staff, and a virtual Christmas choir, including your own voice. Join us as we journey through the Christmas story together. The Bethlehem Walk video will be posted at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve for viewing. Anytime after that, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
The offering is for the Benevolent Fund. This fund is administered by our deacons to help those in need and to help families with Christian school tuition. As you can see on your screen, we have many ways to give. If you'd like to learn more on how to give, you can check out the link below in the video description.
Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. When we consider your heavens, your creation, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars, the mountains and the lakes, we know that you created all, and we know you are in control. Lord, give us confidence in that. Lord, give us the strength, the peace, and the hope to navigate these confusing times. Jesus, bless this offering, multiply it for your glory, and bless Pastor Nathan as he brings your word. We love you and you praise your name. Amen.
Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for you. All of these materials can be found in the video description or on our website. Every month, New Life's kids start a new series. Our Christmas series this month is called Light It Up, not just because of the colorful lights you see hanging on our houses and windows. but because we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the light of the world. If you want you and your kids to get more out of the weekly videos, there are some reflection prompts following the lesson that can help your family dig deeper into each lesson. Now would be a good time to pause the video to set up your kids, and when we come back, we will be joined by Pastor Nathan.
Good morning. It's great to be with you again. We're continuing our series of messages called A Christmas To-Do List, and we're reminding ourselves of some of the things that need to be done, that we need to keep on doing for our Christmas celebrations. In a year where our Christmas celebrations are perhaps rather unusual and unlike any other year, there are some things that we need to remember to keep on doing. And so in the first week of our series, we reminded ourselves that we need to keep believing, and we looked to the character of Mary to see a model of tremendous faith. Then we looked at the character of Joseph, to see a model of tremendous obedience under the new righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then we took a look at the story of the angels and reminded ourselves of the importance of being able to keep on singing, even though we might not quite feel like it in the same way that we've done in the past. Song reflects the joy and the hope that we have in a Savior who was born to us. This morning, I'd like to reflect in a similar manner on the story from the shepherd's perspective. And so we get this lesson from Luke chapter 2, immediately after the angel has announced to the shepherds that a baby was born in Bethlehem, indeed a Savior of the world. And then a choir of angels comes down out of the sky into the middle of a field in the middle of the night and sings their marvelous song, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth." And then Luke writes, "Suddenly, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Now, I want you to picture this story a little bit. You've got to imagine that the angels come down out of heaven and they tell the shepherds of the birth of Jesus. And then a choir of angels, presumably bright lights, singing together in glorious song. And from a realistic perspective, all of it seems rather, well, suspect. Is this really the way the story happened? Or did the shepherds imagine this? Because here's the thing. News of the Messiah, the long-awaited, expected Messiah, the Savior of the world, such news would never have come first to the shepherds in the expectation of most people. Shepherds were the losers of society. They were the lowest of the low. They were the last people to whom the story would ever be told. And then in a marvelous display of faith, the shepherds go see this thing that has happened. And then they spread the word. They go tell the story. Except that shepherds had the reputation that perhaps fishermen do today. Their tales were never quite trustworthy. In fact, many of them were downright lies. Apparently, the phrase was common to tell people they lie like a shepherd. Such was their reputation. And yet the result is, Luke says, the people heard it and were amazed. So the emphasis is not so much on how the story is received, so much as it is about whether the story is told at all. And how people received it is left up to God. And so there's the importance of telling the story, whether by angelic voice or even by dubious reputation. Because either way, you can't help but be amazed by the story of God come down to earth to save his people. And the remarkable thing, of course, is that God relies even on liars and losers to tell that story of salvation, which compels us then to tell the story. Whether we think of telling it eloquently or whether we have to stumble our way through it, the lesson from the shepherds is that we are compelled to tell the story. Whether it falls upon pious hearts or whether it is met with sneers and skepticism. So what do you think of when on your Christmas to-do list it says, tell the story? Perhaps you could grab a Bible and read the Nativity story as found in Luke chapter 2, and you probably will do that around a Christmas dinner table. Or you could act out the whole Bethlehem scene, and often we do that. And come Christmas Day, you'll be able to experience that virtually on the Bethlehem Walk video that we will present to you. Or you could sing Christmas carols that tell the Christmas story, as we've challenged you in our Christmas challenge at the beginning of this particular series. In fact, we usually do all of those things, reading from the Bible, acting out the Bethlehem scene in some way or other, and singing the Christmas carols that tell the Christmas story. We usually do that all together. But in this particular Christmas season, I'd like to suggest something else. Telling the Christmas story is about telling your story. The full meaning of the Christmas story is not just the historical facts of a baby born in Bethlehem a long time ago. The full meaning of the Christmas story is how it has shaped you, how it has impacted your life, how it has added chapters to your own story. Because Christian faith is about a story. It's about the story of God. And that leads Frederick Buechner, a Christian writer, to say that the gospel is like a story told as a tragedy because of how sin has entered into this beautiful world that God created. But then the gospel story is also a story that's told like a comedy because of the outrageous and ridiculous length to which God goes in order to save his creation. And the gospel story is a story told as a fairy tale because it involves a tremendous hope that one day we will live happily ever after. So what's your story? What's the story that you will tell this Christmas? And by that, what we mean is, where did you come from? Who are you? What are you about? How does your life intersect with God's story? Are you part of God's story? What does that look like? Because perhaps the story is like a tragic tale, and life has fallen apart for you. Well, indeed, that's part of the Christmas story. Life has fallen apart. It's not just you and I that have noticed either. It's God in heaven who has noticed, and he's been agonizing over it since the beginning of time. And it's the reason why he's descended upon this ruined earth to save it. It's also the shepherd's story. Those shepherds whose lives amounted to really nothing. They were shepherds because they'd already failed at everything or because they had no other resources by which to survive or thrive in life. That's why anyone became a shepherd, because they had nothing and they were nothing. Nobodies. And in the middle of that tragedy, perhaps they were only too well acquainted with the tragedy and they heard the message of the angels. That's certainly part of my story. See, I grew up in a humble immigrant household where we lived simply. I'm grateful for that. I don't remember Christmas being such a complicated affair. There were, in fact, not even many decorations. None that I recall. Rarely even a Christmas tree. And gifts, well, gifts felt somewhat secondary, perhaps even an afterthought in some years. Christmas in our home wasn't a holiday filled with nostalgia and good cheer and cozy comforts. And yet in that what others might judge to be a Grinch-like style, I learned and I lived with an eagerness for that very message of the angels that a Savior was born to us. What's your story? Perhaps it might be told like a comedy. That's part of the Christmas story too. That God came down to earth as a baby to save the world. And that seems like such a ridiculous method by which to save the world. It almost sounds like a joke of some kind or other. That the Messiah was supposed to come as a great conqueror. That was the great expectation. That the Messiah would come in a mighty way to save the people from their misery. No Messiah is going to conquer by being crucified. That's just funny to the point of foolishness. Which is what leads Paul the Apostle to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, and foolishness to everybody else." I suppose that with their amazement, the people who heard the shepherds responded also with hilarity when they heard the shepherd's story. There they go again, telling their funny stories. Everybody knows that a baby can't save the world. And it must have been kind of a funny story for the shepherds too, don't you think? I mean, here's the Savior of the world. And nobody knows yet, except for the shepherds. They're the first to know. People who were never in the know are the first to know. Nobody hears the glorious concert of peace from the angels except the lowly shepherds. That's funny. That's divine comedy. That's the gospel that turns our world upside down from all of our usual expectations. It's part of my story too, I suppose. In the folly of someone like me being the herald of the greatest, most important news of the world. I remember as a kid, maybe 5 years old, playing the great hymns of the faith on the piano. Until, of course, my older siblings told me I wasn't really playing a tune at all. I was just randomly moving my fingers over the keyboards. I remember thinking I could become a hockey superstar for Jesus even. Until I wasn't even picked for the floor hockey team in grade 7. I remember swelling with pious pride at my preaching skills in the beginning of my ministry when Mr. Mose told me my sermons, they were excellent. And then he added something about how they must be good because he didn't really understand them. My story is a comical story of how God uses even my weaknesses for his glory. What's your story? It could be that your story must be told as a fairy tale. That's indeed the whole point of the Christmas story, the whole reason for the season, that Christ came to earth to save people from their sins and to set them into freedom. and into abundant life. That Jesus lived so that he could die for us, and that in rising from the dead, we too would live forever. And in some sense, the story of the shepherds too was a fairy tale ending. The story gave their own lives a transformation of meaning, and it gave their lives new hope. These lowly shepherds who were regarded as nothing, they suddenly became people with a story. No, it doesn't say that these shepherds turned their lives around and now that they are successful social entrepreneurs that everybody regarded them with great esteem. No, no. It just says that when they returned from witnessing this Christ child born in a manger, they returned glorifying and praising God. That became the new definition of their life. It transformed them. That's the fairy tale ending. Christmas means a lot to me. Although I've often wanted the story to be, well, preferably more about me than about Jesus. And yet the glory of a Savior born to us shines when I meet Jesus, yes, even in the cradle of my own loneliness. The glory of Jesus shines, yes, even in the manger of my inadequacies and my insecurities and my shame. But it also shines, and this is the privilege of being a pastor. It also shines when in the midst of grief and misery, I see grace and peace in the lives of suffering people. That can only come from a saving God. That can only come from a story that reads like a fairy tale. An experience that is too good not to be true. And that's the story of the gospel, both as tragedy, as comedy, and as fairy tale. And that is a story that needs to be told because it's the greatest story that ever was. What's your story? Tell it this Christmas. Tell it because more than ever, people this Christmas need to hear your story as it intersects with God's story. Tell it to your children. Tell it to your parents. Tell it to a friend. Tell it to your coworker. Tell your story. Send it off as encouragement. Or perhaps send it off as a challenge. Tell it with good cheer. Tell it with relief. Tell it, yes, and perhaps it makes you vulnerable. But it's the greatest story ever told because it's the story of your salvation, of my salvation, of the great salvation that God has accomplished for us. It's the lesson that the shepherds teach us. Is that no matter what the shape of your life is, no matter what your expectations are, no matter how much on top of life you feel, your story, when it intersects with God's story, is a story that must be told to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the greatest story that's ever been told. The story of your salvation. God, when we reflect on it and when we let it live in us and through us, we are overwhelmed. And we give you thanks. We glorify you, God, because of your great salvation. And in this Christmas season, Lord, allow us the time to reflect on what that story means for us so that we can tell our story, a story that is good news to people caught in despair. A story of great hope for people who are disappointed with life. A story of encouragement and joy for people depressed, caught in anxiety, filled with worry. So, Father, reveal that joyous picture of the marvelous announcement of the angels. Reveal that to us in our own hearts, and reveal that into the lives of the people around us as we dare to tell our story. And may it be all to your glory, to your honor, for you are a great God. You are our Father. You are our Redeemer. And we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, go into this Christmas season. Go into this Christmas week to celebrate our Savior's birth and follow the shepherds as they left and they spread the word. So also you spread the word concerning what has been told to you about this child. Tell your story. Glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those on whom God's favor rests. Amen.
thank you, worship team, for leading us so wonderfully. It is beautiful to hear those Christmas carols once again. This week, Nathan talked about the shepherds going out and telling the news of the birth of Jesus Christ. And he encouraged us to tell the story of Jesus in our lives to our surrounding community. And by doing this, we deepen our relationship with the people around us, and we live more honestly. So we encourage and challenge you to do that this week. Let's open our Christmas to-do list challenge envelopes for week 4. So it says, 1, deliver Christmas baking to someone. 2, bring a friend to the Bethlehem Walk at New Life Church. Our Bethlehem Walk event was supposed to be in person, but unfortunately had to move online due to extended restrictions over Christmas. So it is now a virtual event, and we encourage you to invite your friends who may not know about Christianity to watch our virtual service. We're just putting it together this week, and there's so many elements that we're really hoping that you are blessed by. And 3, go on a socially distanced walk with someone. Encourage them by talking about what Christmas means to you, or perhaps what Nathan talked about this week in his sermon, how the story of Jesus in your life. And lastly, for our kids, make sure you remember to color that Advent page. We want to see your lovely drawings and send them to Sam. Well, have a great week, and we hope to see you next week.